What is the land promise in the Old Testament? And does that land promise extend to our time? Most people that have read the Bible realize that there is a place in the Old Testament called the Promised Land. But does that have anything to do with politics and with the world today? We're going to begin today in Genesis chapter 12, the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And as you're turning there, let me read to you something that one of our senators said on the floor of the United States Senate several years ago about Israel. He said, quote, "We must support Israel's right to the land because God said so." In Genesis 13, 14 through 17, the Bible says, "The Lord said unto Abram, Lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Many preachers preach today that the nation of Israel in our time has a God-given and biblical right to this same land. Is this what the Bible teaches? Is this what we read in the Scriptures? Let's begin today in Genesis chapter 12. You see, there's no doubt about the fact that God did promise this land to the nation of Israel. We find in Genesis chapter 12 that God made this great promise to Abraham that he would make a great nation of his descendants. And we also read in Genesis 12, verse 7, that God promised his descendants, Abraham's descendants, that is, this land. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him." So there's no question about it. God did promise the descendants of Abraham this land in Canaan. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 13 now, the book of Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to read again what God said. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, God repeats this promise to Abraham by saying, "The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Now it's that last word that I want to spend some time with, because there are many people today who misunderstand the way that the word forever is sometimes used, especially in the Old Testament. There are many people that read this verse and say, well, there it is. The Bible says that the descendants of Abraham have a permanent right to that land because this passage says that God was going to give this land to Abraham's seed, that is his descendants, forever. Now, let me give you a few passages, and if you have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper to write this down with, these are some passages that I believe will help us to understand what this word forever sometimes means in the Old Testament. For instance, in Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, the Bible says that the Sabbath was a sign between God and the people of Israel forever. It uses that word. Well, we know that the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17, that we are no longer under the Sabbath law. Nobody is. That law does not apply to our time. That law, in Colossians 2, verse 14, was nailed to the cross. Jesus put an end to it. But this passage in Exodus, chapter 31, verse 17, says that the Sabbath law was a sign between God and Israel forever. Well, that means that the word forever, then, has a limit to it in that passage. What we find is that sometimes in the Old Testament, the word forever refers to, as many people say, an indefinite period. I would just say it refers to a long time. And if you'll think about it, I believe that we use that word forever in the same way today sometimes. For instance, you're waiting in a line of traffic and later you say to somebody, "I sat there forever in that line." Or you're waiting in a doctor's office and it takes a long time to get to your appointment, and you say to somebody afterward, "I sat there in that doctor's office forever." Well, we use that word in that sense today, so why would it be strange when we look at the Bible to see that the word forever is used in that kind of way in many passages? Here's another example. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says that the earth abides forever. Now, we know that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says that the earth is going to be burned up when Jesus comes again. The earth is going to come to an end. And yet this passage in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4 says that the earth abides forever. This is not a contradiction. What we have here is the word forever being used in this way that we're talking about. It means for a long time. It just keeps going. And that's what the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes is telling us. Now, there are many other examples where you can find that word and also the word everlasting being used in that kind of sense. But these are sufficient for right now. What we find is that God did make the promise that the descendants of Abraham would inherit that land. And we've shown that the word forever, sometimes in the Old Testament, does not mean without end. It means a long time, but not a permanent period. Now then, with that in mind, let's think about what God did to fulfill that promise. What is the book in the Old Testament that records God giving that land to the Israelite people? Well, that would be the book of Joshua. Joshua led the armies of the Israelite people into the land of Canaan. They conquered the cities, and they took possession of the land. Now, in Joshua chapter 21, I want you to listen very carefully to what the Bible says in Joshua 21, beginning in verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers. You see, when some people say, well, God didn't really fulfill that land promise, there's still part of it that needs to be fulfilled in our time. Well, the Bible tells us that thousands of years ago, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware unto their fathers, going all the way back, of course, to Abraham. And they possessed it and dwelt therein. So God did promise this land to the Israelite people, and God gave this land to the Israelite people, and he fulfilled this promise according to the book of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 43. But there's something else that is absolutely essential for us to remember, folks. And we're going to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy now, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, to see this point. You see, many people look at this land promise as being irrevocable, unconditional, that regardless of what happened, regardless of what these Israelites did, that they will always have a permanent right from God himself to that land. Is that what the Bible teaches? We're going to see here clearly now in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Now, this is before the Israelites actually took possession of that land. But I want you to notice what God told them and what God warned them about in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Now, it's very interesting to remember that in the book of Deuteronomy, the people of Israel have not crossed over the Jordan to take the land yet. They're just about there. They're on the outskirts of that promised land. And Moses is giving them final instructions and final warnings about going into that land and keeping the law of God and remembering God. So let's notice what Moses said to these Israelite people who are just about to take possession of that land. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Whenever you see the word "if" used like it is here in the Bible, you can mark it down. This means that whatever is being talked about is a conditional matter. That means that whatever he's talking about is conditioned upon these people keeping the law of God. If they keep the law of God, then the blessing will follow. If they don't keep the law of God, then the blessing will not be theirs. Now, what is this blessing? What is this blessing that God is saying they can have if they keep his word? Well, it's receiving and living in the promised land. God said, if you will keep my word, verse 3, you will be blessed in the city, you will be blessed in the field, and your farming and all of your work will be blessed. So if you want this land and you want to keep this land, then keep the law of God. It's just that simple. But then he says, on the other hand, that if you do not keep the law of God, beginning in verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, then he says you're going to be cursed. Your labors are going to be cursed. And he continues throughout this long chapter warning them about what's going to happen if they forsake the law of God. Now please turn down with me all the way to verse 63 in this chapter. God is saying, if you do not keep my law, if you rebel against me, here's what's going to happen. Verse 63 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Now, does that sound like that Israel had a right to that land regardless of what they did? Absolutely not. Their receiving that land and keeping that land depended upon whether they kept the law of God or not. God said, if you keep my law, then you can keep the land. If you forget my law, then you're going to lose the land. God said, I will pluck you from off that land. The same land that he brought them into, he said, I will pluck you out of that land. And in verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter you among all people from the one end of the earth even to the other. And as you read your Old Testament, there's no question about what happened. The Israelites rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, beginning especially in the book of Judges, they lost their right to that land. And so, beginning in Judges and going through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles, going through the prophets, we find that the Israelite people were taken off of their land. The nation of Israel was taken into Assyrian captivity. The nation of Judah was taken into Babylonian captivity. They lost the right to that land. Now, somebody might ask, but doesn't Deuteronomy chapter 30 say that after God took them off of that land, that he would bring them back to their land if they repented? Yes, it does. And the Bible teaches that he did indeed do that after the Babylonian captivity. He brought them back to that land, but they still rebelled against God. And what we find in the New Testament is that God had given them the final chance, the final opportunity to receive his only begotten Son. And when they rejected him, God was finished with them as a nation. And as Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 43, the kingdom of God was taken from them. But even in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we find still that this promise of the land was conditional. And I want to end by reading Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning in verse 15. See, God said, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20.